No, ooh,
wait, ah! What's up? What's up?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Butta P, and you are listening to Kicking It with Butta, the podcast. Guys, I am super duper excited about my guest today. This is one of my best friends, one of my homegirls, one of my chica lindas. My girl, Mirianis Rodriguez.
Did you really just say my full name on this podcast? I'm going to kill you.
I got my girl, Miri, up in the building. I call her Miri.
Yes.
But if you don't know how to roll that R, you can call her Miri.
We'll take that too.
But I have my girl, Miri, in the building with me. I'm super excited. We have our two little young ladies, our little interns,
our paparazzi
in the building today too, with us taking pictures and video. Actually, my daughter is filming and she's not supposed to be, but whatever. So yeah, I'm excited about this. What's up, Miri? What's up?
What is going on, Butta P? I'm so excited to be here in Florida. It is beautiful and 80 degrees. Man, I miss that. Can I tell you? I didn't think I would, but I do. I'm not going to lie. I miss the humidity.
I bet you do.
I do. My hair's crazy, but that's okay. I think, I think I can live with the humidity a little bit long. So I'll be back. I'll be back in Florida. I think we have a five-year plan in Seattle, and then we'll be back for sure. But it's been a crazy ride.
I feel like I have so much to talk to you about.
Yeah, man.
I feel like this is supposed to be three parts.
This is the whole season all
over. This is the whole season.
But we always do that.
We're going to rename it halfway.
Jeez. We never stop talking, you and I, when we get together. It's like all day.
There's so much I want to talk to you about. But because like, you're such an interesting person, and I just want people to know you. But first things first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My sneaker collection.
Yes.
Right? So I bought some new shoes.
Okay, what'd you get?
I got two new pair of shoes this nice week. So my husband has this thing that I spoke to the other day about this. He has this thing that he likes to match sneakers with me. I hate it. But
like twinsies.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Like in high
that's
school.
So weird.
So I'm thinking maybe when he was in high school, he just didn't have a girlfriend to do that with. So now he's getting it out. Like, let's do it now.
Let's dress up together.
So I do it to appease him. But I just got two new pair of Adidas this week. One of them are all black.
Nice. Nice.
Super dope. And so I'm super excited about them. I got them for like $35.
What?
They
where?
Just came out. Ah, see.
Oh, you're not going to give up the secrets.
No, I have a friend, really good friend, who works for Adidas, so she hooked it up.
You have like all the hookups in every part of the industry.
I know I do.
That's insane.
But you have to. You gotta have the hookup. But so yeah, I just got this fresh pair of sneakers and I'm super excited to wear them. I even told Kanata he could get a pair so we can match because they're that dope.
Wow.
I'm gonna name
that's
them
nice.
I'm gonna name them my Black Panthers. All black. So when you guys see them on my feet, you're gonna be like, oh shit.
Those are it.
Those are the Black Panthers.
Wakanda forever. Yes.
So you're not a sneaker person though.
No, I'm not.
You are a shoe person.
I am. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know anything about sneakers. I think it was because my mom forced me to wear them when I was a little girl and they never matched my dresses. So I looked weird. I was like, why am I wearing sneakers? She's like, because you're going to be running around. I'm like, but I'm all dressed up like from the knees up. I have like dresses and nice little bows and then sneakers that doesn't match. Like I want sandals and little girl shoes. That never happened. So I think it was like my face of like no sneakers ever again.
So I think that's why I love about us. We're completely opposite.
Totally.
I'd rather a pair of Jordans. You'd rather a pair of wedge heels.
That's right.
But you pull them off. What is the most expensive shoe you've ever bought?
Oh, really? You're going to ask me that question on the podcast?
Okay.
All right,
how about
hold
this?
On, hold
what,
on.
Was, what was the... Okay. What was the first pair of shoe that you bought yourself? You could have been like 13,
that's
14,
a good question.
That you could have said, yo, I'm going to save up money and I'm going to buy these. What was the first pair of shoe that you bought?
The first pair of shoes I bought that I was really proud of, it was like, my paycheck is going to this and I don't care. I wasn't even 18 yet. And I went to, Bernines, right? We had the Bernines stores.
Bernines.
Yeah, the Florida store. That's what it is. And I was like, I'm getting myself a pair of shoes, like it's happening. And I, it's funny, I got them and I won't tell the brand yet, but I got them and then I was like, I don't even have to, like, I have nothing to wear this with. And for, like, for months, they just sat there because I just bought them and I was like, nothing to wear them with. And then I started dressing up and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, you buy the shoes first and then you buy the outfit. Like, that's how it works in my world. And it's worked ever since. So they were actually a pair of Pradas.
Ooh.
Yes. And they were, so just let me just tell you, they weren't the seasonal ones. They were off season and they were clearance items, but still they were, you know, they were Pradas and they were nice. And I was so happy. They were yellow and blue.
I can totally see it. You can't just wear some black shoes. No, they gotta have some color.
I couldn't find anything to wear them with. What do you wear those shoes with? I was like, what, you know, I can't match them. I have no clothes to match this with. But I started buying clothes that matched them. But, you know, they actually, you can wear them with anything. I wish I still had them.
Do you still have them?
No, I actually had them. Can I tell you the truth? I moved to Seattle a year ago, right? And I had them in a box. I found them, like, I was cleaning out my closet. I was like, oh my gosh. And it was just the momentum of it. It wasn't really that I could wear them. They were so worn out. They had, like, all of the heel was, like, stacked. Like, you know how, like, you chip in the back. They were, like, chipped up like this. And then I took them down to the Coral Springs. I took them to a cobbler.
To get them,
like,
fixed.
Yeah. And I was like, could you fix them? They're like, this is going to be so much money. I was like, forget it.
You might as well just get a new pair of Prada shoes. Ooh, so your first expense was Prada. I like it. I dig it. I can totally see it. And they had blue. To be yellow and blue.
Yeah. So the front was yellow, and then halfway they were turned like that electric blue color in the back. I love those shoes.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's totally your personality.
Yeah. And it was weird because I was working at the bank, at Bank Atlantic at that time. It was like a little teller job that I had. And I was like, this will never fly in a bank. Like, you're supposed to wear, like, black shoes and that's it. So.
My first shoe that I bought was a pair of Jordans. Well, the first pair of Jordans I ever had were the 4s.
How old were you?
Right?
How old were you?
I was in middle school.
Okay.
My cousin gave them to me.
All right.
They were the Jordan 4s, right? And I was hooked. So I was like, I need to figure out a way that I can buy myself sneakers.
Yeah.
I was hooked on sneakers.
That's it.
I wasn't hooked like how people are hooked now. Like, I just loved the way they felt on my feet because I played basketball. And
that's,
I couldn't
right.
understand how shoes could be made so well that I felt like I was playing in socks.
Wow.
So I saved my little money so I could get the Jordan 5s.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever owned a pair of Jordans. I mean, I've owned Prada, but never Jordans.
I know. And then my first, like, expensive to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Heels, stiletto.
Yes.
Yo, was a pair of 9 West.
Listen, those are great shoes.
Listen, they are my favorite.
Those are great shoes.
I was just telling my husband.
A girl always has to have a pair of 9 West.
I
like regular
9 West.
Black heels. That dresses you up anywhere.
I think I was probably like 21. And I said, yo, I'm going to spend some money. I think I paid like $75 for these 9 West shoes.
That's a bargain.
And I legit had those for almost 10 years.
I was going to say, those things last forever.
They lasted me forever. So I think for me, those were the two.
Do you want to see what I packed for Aruba?
Oh my God.
Hold on. I have them right here. Hold on.
So Meaty's actually, she's actually heading to Aruba, guys.
You know what?
She's, man, I have so much, we have so much to talk about.
These are the same.
Oh my God, those are from Chicago.
Okay.
This
is the second time I wore them on stage. The first time you were with me in Chicago. This is the second time. I haven't worn them since.
Guys, these are so dope. Make sure you get a picture of those. These shoes are, okay, guys, Meaty is, I wish I had video for this. Like, this is why I love Meaty. Like, she's, those are like a 6-inch heel.
They're 5.
Okay, 5. They are like a.
Velvet material.
What color is that?
This is like a fuchsia color.
Like a fuchsia, right? So she will probably wear that with like this amazing dress, some really bright lipstick because she's Latina, so that's what we do, right?
Yes.
And she will go on stage and kill it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about Aruba. So you know what they're sending us to? This flamingo private island. And I'm like, yes to private islands. So then I was like, okay, I need to wear like a new bathing suit because it's gonna be a private island, right? So I went
like,
and
yes,
bought,
please.
Yes. And then I went and bought a new bathing suit. And so I told Louis about it. And I'm teasing him about it the whole time because he's like, what does it look like? I'm like, you know, I'm like, just wait till we get there. You know, it's nice. I'm excited.
So Aruba. So she's on her way to Aruba. She's gonna go speak.
Me and
right?
my heels. While you're on your way to Philadelphia with your sneakers.
With my sneakers.
This is our lifestyle.
Absolutely. And you just recently moved to Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
because you work for one of the most amazing companies in the world. We'll get to that in a second. But initially, you lived in South Florida.
Dude, where we met.
Where we met in Florida forever ago. I don't even remember when. But before that, I want people to hear part of your story, like how you got here.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? Oof. What is your story with your familia? All that good stuff.
I was, if you can pick up on my accent, it's because I'm not native to here. I was born in Caracas, Venezuela, in a place called Barrio Union. So Barrio being ghetto, and Union was the name of the ghetto. And that ghetto is one of the worst ones in Caracas. Actually, people that have no money will live outside on the skirts of the, you know, surrounding the hills of Caracas, the valley, which is the capital. And I was born in this tiny, tiny little house that, it was just, I saw a picture the other day because I was at my mom's house and it was literally like a square, you know, with zinc ceiling, and it, when it would rain, it would like drip all over. Just a total shack. That was my house. I was born in a shack. and it's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, my parents were missionaries there, and eventually we made our way here, to Miami. We ended in Miami, and I remember clearly my dad, you know, we were all so excited at the airport. We had our bags and everything coming into like, welcome to America, welcome to Miami, bienvenido a Miami. and my dad turns around and he's like, I just want to tell you that you are in America, but you are not American. Don't ever forget that, right? And I was like, oh, Selena all over. I was like, okay, thanks. But there's a message to that, and it's always remembering where you come from. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key theme of my life is people see me. You did mention I work for a great, incredible company that's making so much, you know, driving so much impact in today's world. At every stage, I've seen it, and I'm so excited to be there. And it's seriously by the grace of God. I can't attribute anything more than God has seen me through an incredible journey from a place that I would never think I would come out of ever, ever. And I am in a, you know, at a tech hub in an incredible company, surrounded by incredible people, meeting people like you in my life that God has placed. It has been nothing but favor, and not earned at all. Not earned, because God knows if he left it up to me, I would have screwed my life real good. I tried many times, but he didn't let me. He didn't let me go through it.
So I talk about you all the time.
Oh, I talk about you all the time.
You are like my life example, right? So guys, my friend Meaty works for Microsoft. She is, I tell people she like owns the place.
I'm the CEO, but I'm a storyteller.
She is a storyteller at Microsoft, yes. And I'll let her explain what that is. But just the way your career has gone has been super impressive to me, because you've inspired me all these years, because you've been the type of person that you see something that you want and you go after it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not qualified for it. And I think, you know, watching you over the years go from position to position, but not even that you were jumping from company, like you were, it just seemed like everything you did was very intentional and you knew it was a setup for something else.
That's right.
And I remember when you went to Microsoft, I said, oh snap, this is about to be game changing for you.
It is, and it was.
So like, then when you went after that the social media position, I was like, yo, if she gets this job.
That was insane.
So tell them a little bit. I want you to kind of walk quick, not too long, but, you know, just your journey in your career about how you started, because you started as an immigrant in this company.
I did.
And sometimes, you know, when people talk to me about immigration and all that stuff, and, you know, that's a hot topic in our country right now. You know, you have the ones who speak down on immigrants. And then I love that I have people in my life who are immigrants who are like thriving. And so I'm grateful that I have these stories to share. So for you, like, what has that been like being a Latina in these executive positions where it's mostly men?
I have to start by saying that it's always been exactly what you said, Amanda. It's been about not thinking just about, am I qualified for the position? The reality is, I don't think anybody's ever qualified for any position, okay? I mean, it looks good on paper and you could be like, yeah, check, check. But honestly, nobody's qualified. And I figured out, I was like, you know what? I'm never going to be qualified for anything. But you know what? I'm just going to go for my potential. I can sell myself and say, I think I can do that job. If you believe in me, let me do the job. Yeah. Maybe fire me if I don't do it, right? So the mentality switched for me. I think as an immigrant, you have that kind of hustle mode where you go, I have to try, because if not, I'm going to, you know, I don't thrive. I have to make it. I have to make it. And there is that American dream belief I had that I had. Honestly, it was like, I can do that. I refuse for my generations, for my family. I refuse to be, you know, the demographic that we are set at the low bars that we can set ourselves for being Latinos, you know, in the construction work. And I'm not saying that's not honorable and that's not good, but if you want more, you can. You don't have to settle your mind to that. Yep. It is attainable, and not necessarily if you're qualified or not. And that's what people don't get. People are like, oh, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not even going to try. No, you try and you'll get it. So that kind of switch, I started as an operation specialist way, like my first real job after the bank. And it just kind of kept going. I ended up in Motorola, and that sent me into the technology industry. Now, what's weird is I never saw myself as a woman in tech. Because I was like, I'm not techie, right? But I was, and I never saw myself as that. But I was in the industry. I've been in the industry for 20 plus years now. And that's, again, that it's mentality. Is when you set yourself up and you say, you know what? I am a woman in tech. I'm in the tech industry. You own it, and then you learn the industry, and now you're in the industry. Now you're leading the industry and impacting the industry. So we I thought about this, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna switch my mind to what I want to achieve next, not as a title, which is also interesting.
Yeah,
it's what I want to learn. So going into, for example, social media, I was like, okay, what can I can get so much out of this? For me, not as a title, and it was a title, it came with it, but it really wasn't about that. It was about what I wanted to learn. I want to be able to just drive myself in a place I've never been to before. It was an adventure. It is an adventure to kind of explore something I've never been in before. And so same thing with storytelling. I never went to school to go to be a storyteller for Microsoft. That just doesn't happen, right? Social media didn't even exist when I was in school and in college. You don't go to school to go do social media. So those are the things that entice me to go, you know, it's new, it's adventurous, it's something I have. And that's what being the technology. And I'll tell you, it's so exciting because technology is new. And so it's the same thing. It's like we're exploring it. We don't know what's going to come out of it. We're looking at AI. We're looking at machine learning. And I'm in it. I'm in it, Amanda. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, scary. It's scary. But it's exciting because we don't know. And I think that's the thrill of the job for me. And that's the adventure. The theme is I'm going for stuff that I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not qualified for it because there's no qualifications. Nobody's ever done it before. But I'm going to try. And then you learn the industry. And, you know, now being... you know, self-dubbed and now being recognized as a woman in tech, I own it because I do know the technology. I know what my company is doing. I know the power of technology. I can sit with an engineer and have an intelligent conversation about AI, machine learning, and algorithms. And you know, it's not too shabby, right? Yeah. I can have. So for everyone looking and thinking about their own journey, where you want to set yourself up is think about that theme. Think about, it's not qualifications or not, is where you want to end up and how you're going to get there and position yourself for it.
Mm-hmm.
Position yourself
for it. I remember when you first got the social media position,
oh my
right?
Gosh.
And you...
We celebrated in my house.
And I was like, yo, this chick is freaking the social media person. That's like, that's crazy. In Latin America.
I know.
And then I remember you told me the story about the North America position.
And I took over
how
North America.
How you had went to them and told them you wanted the position.
Yes.
And I was just like, man, like, I wish... people had that confidence, you know, that you have. And it's not just a self-confidence. Like, you have, and we've talked about this, you have a favor over your life. Like, there's stuff, and I think we've talked about this for years, just over us, that there's certain things that we pray about and we just like, all right, God. Like, we just trust God with it. And if it's meant for us, God is going to allow for it to happen. And he opens up the doors. And so I think that has always... been interesting to me whenever you say, man, Amanda, I really want this job. And I'm like, yo, she's about to get this job. And when you call me and tell me that you get the job, it's like, man, it not that it ever surprises me. I get excited because I'm like, I can't wait to see how else you're going to succeed. And then you killed that position, right?
Yeah.
Then I remember we were in your dining room. You were helping me work on some papers, right? And you were encouraging me to apply for a position that I was like, I have no business applying.
And I was like, just go, please.
Just do it.
Do it.
And I remember I said to you, I was like, yo, if you ever sell this house, whatever, whatever. And you were telling me about a company that was trying to get your attention, whatever, whatever. And you told me about these positions at Microsoft. And I said, yo, are you like, would you really leave? And you were like, yeah. And then you interview for these positions and you get a position that you didn't even know you applied for.
I did not. I you know, and it's you're right. And now it's all like happening. And you asked the question, how hard it's been as a Latina. You know, it's not easy. A lot of people look at my life and they go, oh, cool. She must have it all put together. It's awesome. You know, it is awesome, but it is work. It is work to show up. The confidence I get, I promise you, is not mine. Mm-hmm. I am prayerful every time to show up and be and honor God with everything he gives me and stay humble. I remember before any of this happened, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but, you know, the Lord spoke to me in Micah 6, and the verse, you know, was, you know what's good. The Lord has shown you what is good. And mortal, so please walk humbly with your God. Do justice. Be just, be kind, and walk humbly with your God. Three things that I take with me and I remind myself of every day. Being Latina in a market where it is all men. And not, you know, not just all white men. It is white men, but then you have, you know, in the tech industry, there's diversity, but they're men. Mm-hmm. And to be able to walk in, they label you immediately. They look at you. You know they're judging you. And that's okay because I'm wearing my heels. You know, here comes, you know, whatever they're thinking, Bimbo Mary, I don't know, South Florida Mary. And I don't, I have learned to balance the two things, not lose myself in the process. Mm-hmm. I still wear my heels. I can't wear them in winter though because it rains and it gets cold. But and I tried, but you can wear high heel boots in summer. And I have Louis bought me some. I mean in winter. But it's not losing myself, honoring God, and showing them that I'm capable. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm qualified. That's different. But I'm capable.
I love that. That's awesome. Not that I'm qualified, but that I'm capable.
Because I'm not, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I come in with the attitude of, look, I don't have it all put together. I sure don't know as much as you do. You're probably smarter than me, and that's okay. I'm actually here because you're smarter than me. I want to learn from you.
See, and that's what I admire about you. You're not afraid to fail.
Right.
I was talking to my friend Liz the other day from Fusion.
Yeah.
She's on the podcast. But she has a confidence like that as well. And she says, you know, for her, it was never a question of, do I belong at the table? Mm-hmm. She says, I know I belong there. Mm-hmm. So even if I don't have a seat yet, I'm gonna get a seat.
Yeah.
And it's not an arrogant thing. Like, she just knows, like, I know I'm capable of, I have something to contribute. And so I think with you, it's the same thing. Like, you're not afraid to fail. You know you have something to contribute. I think what I was impressed with, I mean, I've been impressed with your whole life, but when we went to Chicago, I remember I was just going through a season of life that I just needed to get away for a couple of days. You're like, come to Chicago. Yeah. I was like, absolutely. I want to come see you speak. And I remember meeting, you introduced me to the young lady who is the social media lead for McDonald's. And I was blown away. I was like, this is a young woman who is leading this. Miri's here doing this. And I was blown away at how many young people were, you know, the social media thing is just this new thing that has boomed in the past few years. And I remember going, I didn't know what to expect of you speaking. I was like, okay, she's the keynote speaker. And wow, this is amazing. All these people want to hear her speak. And I remember watching you on stage and your confidence was just out of hand. Like, I'm used to being on stage, so I know there's a certain things, like you get on stage and it's just something turns on. But I saw it on you. But I was what blew me away from it all was that you were talking about the power of storytelling. And I'll never forget, you all you did was share your story. You shared your, I'm sitting there, I was like, is she telling her testimony? Like,
oh yeah,
is that what this is? And I remember when we went back to the hotel and I said something to you, like, yo, you get paid to tell your testimony. And we were just in awe of how God has used. So what with that, how have you seen, because your journey has been like none other, right? And I love that you absolutely always go back and say it was all God. Because you, I mean, you can't look at your life and be like, oh yeah, she did that.
No. Not at all. Nothing I did.
So, you know, like how has that impacted your life? I love what you said, you know, you remain humble, but how has that impacted your life and the way you pursue things and the way you mentor?
That's a great question. So, you know, yes, God has actually given me the platform. And this is what we were talking about earlier, is that we are all given a space in life to do the Great Commission. And it doesn't mean it has to be in church or about church or from church or delegated by church. We are given talents, we're given backgrounds, we're given diversity, we're given all these platforms to put together to in a specific time and place that God has placed us in to be that light. And so I recognize that in my life, and through the power of storytelling, I was like, well, I preach this stuff at the business level. What does that really mean? Storytelling is about heart. And my pitch, you know, is really actually the late pitch that I've had. You haven't heard of this yet, but I'm actually doing this. I'm kicking it off in Stockholm in October. So I'll give you a little preview. It's about AI, because everything is right now AI. And my pitch, they called me and they say, hey, you know, we want you to be the keynote. What's your pitch? And I was like, crap, I don't have a pitch. So I had to pray. And then I came back. I was like, okay, here's my pitch. My pitch is storytelling. The one thing AI can't do. And I break down the human heart, because the machines are going to do so much, so many things, so much better than we will ever be able to do. They're going to do things. I've been exposed, and I don't want to scare you, but I've been exposed to some crazy stuff that I've seen that's going to come out on the market. And you're going to be like, whoa, like Back to the Future times 10. Right. And I'm like, freak, this is insane. How are we going to survive in this high-tech world? How is the humanity going to continue the way it's always been? And it's through story. Our survival has depended on stories, and it will continue. And Jesus was the best storyteller, right? He was the most wonderful storyteller. From him, we could take all cues. So using that, I said, no, when I talk about heart, that is the testimony. We talk about passion. We have that. God gave us that. Mm-hmm. So that is the platform. How I've used that in my job today, how I use that in, you know, in many platforms, is understanding, once again, God has given me that. And so I will speak freely of it. And I do. And I'm not afraid. And I speak of Jesus, and I represent Jesus. And in a world where today everybody's proud to be something, I'm proud to be Christian.
Absolutely.
And nobody can tell me different. And people have come to me and they've asked, you know, wow, you're so bold. I'm like, no, that's just who I am. I don't need to be bold about who I am. That's just who I am.
It's who I am. Yep.
I'm not trying to represent anything. It's who I am. So if you want me here, I will talk about it. This is what I will talk about. In my mentorships, it's the same way. People come to me thinking they're going to get career advice, right? Hey, Mir, you know, I want to get this job. How did you brand yourself? How do you do that? And I was like, I'm just giving myself permission to be myself. And you need to as well. And stop thinking about the label, the job, the VP title. Those are goals that we think that once we achieve them, we win. Mm-hmm. And then we surprise ourselves when we do that wasn't it. And then we become empty. You know, we become empty because we seek that one thing, and then we achieve and we're like, oh crap, that was it, really?
And there was no heart or foundation to it.
No heart yet, but there's also like no season behind it. There's nothing behind it. It's just empty, right? It's an empty goal. When you attach yourself to the purpose of God in your life, you know that God has you for that purpose. It's beyond money. It's beyond title. It's beyond, and it's God. I step on that stage, Amanda, with every ounce in myself. I step up. I go blank, by the way, before I step on stage. I'm like, I've rehearsed for 30 hours. Crap, I don't know what I'm going to say next. And I do that in God. I'm like, my last words before getting, I'm backstage in the green room, wherever, God use me. Mm-hmm. If it's one person in this sea of people, because we've gone through, you know, from a Chicago room, there was maybe 100, I don't know how many people, but, you know, now it's gotten into the thousands,
right?
It's
crazy.
And I'm like, if it's one person that will hear of you, and I'm not just speaking Jesus, right? I'm presenting Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to say Jesus, because he's there.
Yep,
moving. I've summoned him to this place, and he's there, and I know it. I've had people come up to me, and, you know, ladies, whatever, men, and just say, I don't know what you said. I don't know exactly what you said, but whatever it was, it touched me in a level that I've changed. And I'm like, well, that's called Jesus, just FYI. I just want to let you know, right? And that's when I step in with the testimony. Mm-hmm. And I just talked about tech. I talked about robots and algorithms and, you know, gigabytes and all these things that they want to hear about. They think they want to hear about. And behind that is the message of, listen, we could be all that smart and we could be creating artificial intelligence. But in order for us to create intelligence, we have to be created. And for us to be that has to be created, which means there has to be a creator. Mm. So we are our intelligence. We were created. Mm-hmm. A big creator created us. And so it's that thought of what's behind all this technology is God. Mm-hmm. It's
God. I love that because what you were saying earlier, you know, about not pursuing a position, right? When I speak to a lot of young artists, especially this generation, a lot of young artists want things to, well, just people in general, they want things to happen fast. We're just in that society, that culture. That's the culture now. It's the quick culture. We're social media, 140 characters, you know, everything's a quick answer, you know, Instagram stories, you got 10 seconds to get your message across. Yes. But when I speak to young artists, I try to, you know, they think they're coming to speak to me about advice on the music business and how do I get signed? And you know, most of my conversations with them is I'm talking about their heart. Like, purpose. What is your why? Purpose. You know, why?
Your why. That's exactly
why. Why are you wanting to even do this? Why? And it's funny because I'll spend an hour, 2 hours talking to them and probably the last 10 minutes of our conversation, like, well, with that said, by the way, this is how you get signed.
That's right.
And, you know, I think sometimes that's the reality of it. I think the why, the purpose, you know, behind it, because everyone's created for something. Mm-hmm. And if you can learn that, know that, move in that and walk confidently in that, everything else will begin to fall into place. And you don't really have to pursue a position.
No.
Because then you can walk into something confidently. Like, I might not have all the qualifications for it, but I'm going to try it. Why not? You know? And I think that, for me, has just been my big always, like, wow thing. And for you, you know, I see people hit you up online all the time.
Yeah.
They're attracted to that. And I love when people are attracted to it and they don't know. When you're a Christian, it's always like, there's something about you that's different. I don't know what it is.
Pinpoint it. What is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're able to change the atmosphere. You're able to do all that. But, you know, with you, you know, I can see it online when people reach out to you and stuff. But something I wanted to ask you about. So you had a mentee.
Yes.
That recently just got hired at Adobe.
He did.
And he gave you a shout out. And it all started with the tweet.
It did. It did.
What happened? I've been dying to ask you.
By the way, and that's the one thing that I love to do is really connect with people. Like, I'm not one of those people that are looking to be like, oh, I need to just have a number, you know, this 1,000 followers and I'm not going to follow back. Honestly, that's not what I'm about. If you connect with me and you're sincere about it, I connect with you back because I really believe that we can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, for me, that's the power of social media is that. And I've seen it in my life. I can tell you that my biggest gigs in all over the world, Australia, those places I've been to, have people found me online. Like, that's sick to think that, you know, that is the power of social media and people talking about you and you branding yourself well. So this happened because I actually met Joe. Joe works for Adobe and he's one of the social media influencer enablers for Adobe. Great guy. Very, you know, very high up in his ranks. And we were both speaking at the Reagan Disney conference about a couple of years ago. And so we sat in the same table and we just, you know, you connect, right? So we connected and we followed each other. And he recently posted the position. Now, I've been working with my mentee for about a year, less than a year. And his goal was to get a job in tech. He wanted to get a job in tech. Now, he has a crazy story himself. Actually, he had been scouted by the CIA. And he wanted to get into that field. Geez. And I had just met a KBG agent, retired agent, and he had a crazy story. He became an American. It was insane. He's a Christian. And so I connected them to him. I said, listen, you want to get into this field? Talk to this guy, Jack. And so he did. And after his conversation with Jack, he's like, you know, I don't want to get into this world. Mm. And I was like, oh, come. What was the conversation about? Tell me. And he just essentially said, you know, in this field, I have to make a decision whether I want to serve my country this way or my God. And there's going to be compromises made if I go this way and I don't want to compromise God. And I say, wow, kudos. Let's get you into tech, right? So I was like, whatever you want.
Let's move you on this side.
So then he switched and he decided to go into tech. And as soon as I saw, you know, Joe posted it as he would, you know, any job. And he's like, hey, this job is available. I tagged him And immediately we moved together and, like, you know, went in to meet him on LinkedIn. So I connected him. I did a warm referral on LinkedIn. And that was it. I mean, he basically got, you know, the first interview. After the first interview, of course, he sold himself well, but it was a tweet. It was just me, literally, and I tagged him with the little eyes. It was an emoji. It wasn't even like anything else.
Yo, like, and that's okay. Like your number one form of communication.
I love emojis. You know, I actually voted. I sent a vote out for people. And I
saw it.
Listen, people like emojis too. I'm not the only one. Anyway, so, and it is the power of connection. You know, one of my mentors said to me once, and I believe it, it's not who you know. Is who knows you and what they know about you, right? So when they hear Miri, what are they hearing? When they hear Amanda, what are they hearing? And I love that they associate. I can associate you as a sneakerhead because everyone's like, yeah, Amanda, what a bee. And there's that flavor that you bring that I immediately, it comes to my brand. There's a picture of you when I hear but a pee, when I see, you know, you've branded yourself in a way that is so beautiful, so strong, and it works, right? And so that's the way that we need to be, that we need to brand ourselves. We each have that uniqueness about us that when we shine it, when we make it shine, people associate that. Now people are like, you know, storytelling Miri. Now hopefully it's gonna be AI and storytelling. I'm incorporating robots into the small home mix. But you know, that's what happened. So yeah, he got the job. He's moving. We just had lunch today because they were celebrating. And his mom was like, you, my son, I'm so excited. You know, like the whole, she's Spanish, so she's Venezuelan too. She's like, oh yeah, mi hija, I'm like, you'll be fine. So we're all excited and celebrating successes. As a mentor, there's nothing better than seeing my mentees thrive and get beyond what I've ever accomplished. Mm-hmm. He's starting out, you know, at 20 something. God knows I wasn't there at 20 something, Lord. I mean, he's got a huge future ahead of him. I saw that and I was like, whoa, you're doing well. So good for him.
Isn't it exciting to see people that you've invested in win?
That's the ROI, right? I mean, you spend time with these people and that's what you want. You want them to do better, to see things, to get it. You want them to get it. They want them to get it. And you know, not here's the deal. A lot of people come to me because they're insecure. And it's back to that. It's where do you find your insecurity from or your security?
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in this hyper-connected world of Instagram, where we're back to social media. We use it instead of using to connect with each other, we use it to judge each other
or to impress each other,
compare with each other.
Yeah,
that's not the use of it.
Yep.
It's show up, be yourself, connect with people genuinely, and drive your message, and God does the rest.
Mm-hmm.
God does the rest, and he has with me, and he'll do it with you. That's how it works.
Yep. I love when I'm able to meet new people, or if I know that I'm in a season of mentoring.
Yeah.
My goal with anyone I mentor is that when they walk away feeling like they could do what I just taught them, that they can do my job or do it better.
Yes.
Like, that for me is, if I can literally say, hey, I'm ready to step out of this position, do you want it? And they can be like, yeah.
Yes.
And I know that they'd be able to do it. That for me makes me feel like I've done my job. There's nothing worse for me to work with someone who is intimidated by my confidence, especially if I've come in to help empower them. Like, let me come in to help make you better. So when I walk away, you're better.
Yes.
Right? My husband said that to me the other day and it has stuck with me. He was like, anything that you commit to, you know, once you get to the place that it's time for you to walk away, anything that you end should, when you're leaving, should be better than how it was when you started.
You
with
leave
them.
It on a high note, and then you leave a successor that will take over and make it better after you because you prepare them.
Absolutely. And I think that's if you, especially when you're looking at, you know, and I think sometimes, like someone like me, I don't stay in one place too long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, I'm just not
the
most. Yeah, I'm not. I meet people that have been at companies for 15 years, and I'm like, dude, I wish I could do that, but I would die unless I really love that job. But I like the flexibility that I can move around and stuff like that. But that was a challenge for me of, you know, just being able to go back and, hey, has everyone I've worked with, have I left and they've been better, you know?
That's it.
And if not, okay, how do I change that moving forward, that the next person or the next company or whoever it is, whatever next project I take on, is it going to be left better after I leave? And I think if we focus on that, that kind of gives you something to pursue of, I'm good, but I want the person behind me to be great.
You know, I had an epiphany the other day about that as a mentor, because every time I ask the people that you know, that why, right? I ask them exactly that. What is the purpose? Why do you want that job? Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to accomplish that? Go back home. Your homework is to ask yourself why 10 times, 7 times. Come back. And when they arrive at their why, right, every one of them, all of my mentees have ended at, it starts with them and their own personal gains. And then they end, after a few whys, with, I want to make the world better. Mm-hmm. I want to teach someone. I want to leave a legacy. And the epiphany I had was, that's how God made us. He made us to leave a legacy. He made us, and that's why storytelling is so powerful, because through stories, we immortalize ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, people remember what we said. People remember how we taught someone. People remember the stories we shared. Back to why I share my stories, I'm not afraid to show up and say, I don't have it put together. I suck. I fail. I fail fast. I fail again. It's okay, because we all do. Mm-hmm. And in the work that I've been allowed to do at Microsoft, which has been such an honor, I brought that vulnerability to the stories of tech. I've brought the people behind the technology. I've sat in front of top cloud engineers and said, but why are you doing this again? Well, because it's cool. No, for real. Like, why?
Why?
No, but tell me again why. Let's have lunch. And then the story's coming. I'm like, whoa. And then I put it out there and people are like, whoa. And it's that. Yep. And it comes, it all, it's the teaching. It's the teaching there is godly. It's so godly, because it's how he brings us together through the why. The purpose is mm-hmm. him, and how we connect through each other, by each other, for each other, through these stories. Like saying.
Well, you just talked about legacy, and I think, like, even right now we're doing this podcast, yeah. right? And we have two young ladies here with us. My daughter, who's 8, your niece, who is 9, right? 10. She's 10
Listen,
years old.
Listen, when you're 9, you're 9. When you're 10, you're 10.
My
and
bad.
That's 10,
she's
double
a
double digits.
Digit
that's
midget.
Double digits. I just have to say, don't bring that down. And
so we have two of our girls with us. She's 8, and my daughter's 8. And what is your name, sweetheart?
Adriana
is here, and she's 10 years old. So this stuff I love, because mm-hmm. they're seeing us do what we do, and that's what I want. Like, mm-hmm. I want my daughter to get older and be like, man, I remember my DT media. I remember my mom. Yeah. Like, they just used to, like, take over the world and just talk about this and talk about that. And I think that's huge. You know, you and your husband, we've been friends forever.
Oh my
your
gosh,
husband
how
and
long?
My husband have been best friends.
Yes.
So we talk about you guys all the time.
We talk about you guys all the time. We're talking about each other.
But what I have taken, I mean, I've taken so much from you guys, but there's two things that me and Kanata always go back to in your marriage, right? There's certain things in your marriage that I love. Just the way we all know each other's stories, right? Just the ups and the downs that we've gone through. But just the stuff that you guys have gone through and have been victorious over, and just to see you guys now, like the way you guys are on a team together, that is, like, for me, like, yes, that's what I want. And I love, I think every marriage goes through that. You have seasons of, you know, you feel like you're on
seasons.
A team,
we
and then you have,
like,
seasons I can't stand
our
you.
Our season was like, we're never gonna talk again.
I hate you, don't touch me, don't look at me.
Get away from me season.
But I love where you guys are at now. Yeah. Like, watching you, because you're, like, in this tech world thriving. Yeah. But then Lewis is in this other, he works in the tech world too, but his passion is cooking.
He's artsy, man.
And then you guys are just blended. You guys are just blended. It's working. That's that one thing. The other thing is your parenting with the boys. Mm-hmm. It has given me such a great insight. Like, I pull things from you guys. There's something that you guys said with us. You guys sat with us a few months, I think before you guys moved. And you guys shared about your family having a mission statement.
Yeah.
That, like, completely changed me and Kanata's life. We were like, dude, we need a mission statement for the smalls.
You do.
So I just, like, I love that about you guys, because you guys have goals. Like, you guys have set a 5-year plan.
You have to. Without vision, people die. We die. And I think, honestly, our marriage, to be brutally honest, we didn't have that. Nobody taught us that. And so we were going off on a tangent. All of us, like, you know, you move one degree a year, you've been married 20 years. That's freaking 20 degrees apart, right? And you're far apart, and you don't understand each other. And now you're bickering because you think you don't understand. You're actually on the same team.
Yep.
you're on the same team. And we didn't, I didn't feel it like that. I was fighting with my husband every 5 minutes. And then it was horrible. Even makeup sex was horrible. It was like, we're just trying to make up for the makeup sex. It's not, it doesn't like, work.
This is still whack.
I was like, listen, man, I heard it was good. It's not. This is horrible. All right, please edit this. But it's the realness of you just trying to do something. You're on the bad path. That's the wrong path. And we sat down and we were like, what's going on? What are we doing? I mean, we had crisis and the crisis stopped us, right? We had to make a decision. And the decision was that, what is our vision? What are we doing? How are we doing it? And why?
And why?
And why? Yep. And what is our story? And are we willing to share that story? I am. I'm good with that. I can talk to anybody about anything. I'm not ashamed about my mistakes. And that's okay because I am here. Again, it is not about me. It's the grace of God that brought me here. And it's, I will always give him glory for that. So the teamship that we have today really has come. Again, people look at us, oh, you guys have it. Yes, we have it good, but it's been work. And it's work all the time. It doesn't ever stop. The sex is better, thank God. But, you know, it's always work. And the work is good because everything that we have, a lot of people want a great house. A lot of people want a great relationship. They want their dream job. But a lot of people are not willing to put in the work that it takes. And it's a lot of work. It's the most work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And so have a vision for your family, have a vision for your life, have a vision and look at it and you know, don't be afraid to change it, to modify it every year. Look at it and say, are we on track for this? Is this really what we want, or do we want something different? And have it and change it. And it's when you're working together for a vision, then it's you against the world. It's both of you against the world, and nobody can come against that. Because if you don't have that, then you're just like kind of, you know, like zombies walking around, and anything, any shiny little object is going to distract you.
And I think with you guys, what I've been able to see is like you're, I think when you do that, it allows for you guys to, I feel like it allows your marriage, you as parents, and then you as an individual to constantly be on an adventure.
Yes.
And it never gets boring.
Fun. It's not boring. Exactly. And then we are in each other's, you know, like my husband's, I'm the total like, you know, socialite and limelight and high heels. And he's like, let me just be home. Let me cook my food. And then everybody enjoys it. And I'm not even going to post it on Instagram. And I'm like, Instagram, this is such Instagram worthy, you know? And he's like, no, I've broken like so many selfie sticks because he doesn't take a picture. And I'm like, selfie stick, it's my life. And so we're polar opposites on everything. And he's so he's not social at all. And instead of like beating him up for it or him beating me up for being social, we just blend and we say, okay, you bring that balance to me. Mm-hmm. That's cool, right? There's times where he says like, okay, we're going to be somewhere. We're not Instagram. I mean, this at all. It's our moment. I'm like, yeah, of course. Click. No, I'm just kidding. No, I
except when we're in Aruba.
Just one story. No. But it's a balance, and we balance each other out, and we've learned.
And I love that you said that because you guys made a deal with the kids years ago that they would not be on social media. It was their choice.
That's right.
And I love that you have protected them.
Yeah.
I love that you protected your marriage on social media because, which I think is ironic because you're the social media guru.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that speaks a lot about what family is to you. Mm-hmm. You know, family for you is definitely priority. And I love that in this season that where you're at, that even though you've got this amazing job, you're constantly traveling, like you guys have been so intentional with bringing your marriage on the road with you.
Oh, yeah.
How has that been working?
And amazing. Nobody knows. So everybody's like, oh, you know, how do you keep in your husband? I'm like, honey, he's with me. Because nobody knows. He's like the ghost that nobody knows about. I'm like, he's there. He's having fun. I'm just not posting it.
Yeah.
Right? And I am protecting that. And it was one of the best decisions I made. Being able to get on the road with my family, with my boys, with Louis, he's going to meet me in Aruba. It's going to be amazing. You know, it is the protected story that is ours to tell us. I don't need to be showing that on social media. The world doesn't need to know that I'm having a great time with my husband, and that's my private moment, and that's okay. So that's the kind of thing that it's been working out even better because it becomes exclusive to us.
Yep.
And it's our thing and it's our secret and nobody knows about it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So I don't need to show up every little aspect of who we are and who we're not. I'm not there to get judged or to get liked by people who don't want to pay my bills. Thank you. I don't care. It's worked out so wonderfully. And my boys have appreciated it as well. We have our thing as a family unit. We are protected. We've protected ourselves, and it stays with us. Our family stories and our family jokes, are there with us. I'll share some things. And to be honest, I have asked them permission to share some things when something's really funny or a story's really good. Because I also want people to know that my husband's there. He's real. Yeah.
He exists. I am married. It's been 20 years.
I am married. But, and people are like, I'm like, yes, I am. I'm married. And I put that on my social media, wife and mom. So sometimes I'll share a picture and I'll share a story. But I do get their permission before I post. I want them to know what I'm posting. And it's not, again, it's not about me. It's about us and our family unit. I think the more you're exclusive about your family unit, the family members feel protected and feel that we are stronger that way.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that. And we weren't thinking of it that way. I just, you know, being the social media guru, as you say, it ironically worked out that way because I was like, man, it's almost like when you know you're in the field, like, oh, crap, I know all this stuff. I better not get my family into that. You know what I mean? It's like, protect. So it was weird because, yes, the intention is to be on social media, but how much do you share about yourself? And why? Again, back to the why. Is it to be liked? Is it just to get the numbers? Mm-hmm. Or is it truly to be genuine and authentic and show up and connect with people, which is,
that's
my
why. I think that's important because I know when we were, you know, when we were touring, my daughter used to travel with us.
Yes, I remember that.
And so... Zoe,
she would love the backstage show.
She was born to be a star. Mm-hmm. And so she used to tour with us. And she's used to she got used to the limelight. But I remember as she got older, I think she was like about 4 or 5. I remember I got stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
And someone was like, hey, Butter Pete. And they were talking to me as if they knew me. Yes. So I'm thinking maybe they were
I
one of the kids
you told
from.
Me this story.
I'm thinking they're like one of the kids from a youth ministry or something. And I'm like, how do I know you? Do you go to Powerhouse? And they're like, no, I'm one of your, you know, I follow you,
I'm
whatever.
A fan.
And they're asking me about Zoe, about her birthday and all this stuff. And that's when I realized, like, whoa, I'm not doing a good job at protecting her. And it wasn't that I wasn't protecting her online. It was just at shows.
Yes.
So after that, people used to always want to take pictures of her. Uh-huh. And so I ended up starting to change in my rider. Mm-hmm. Like, I need security. And not to be bougie, but I have a daughter.
Protection.
Yeah. And so after I get off stage, I need someone to keep her backstage. Yeah. And I started having to change stuff because I started seeing pictures online of her. And like, who are you?
Yeah.
Why do you have a picture
of my daughter?
And so, you know, that type of stuff was important to me because it was very important for me to have her on the road because I was a new mom.
Yeah.
Just bonding with her. My husband and I were traveling together. It was amazing.
That was wonderful.
But I had to go through a season of just guarding all of that. Where now, you know, I'm not traveling as much anymore with my family. I still travel, but now it's more of same thing. Hey, Zoe, you're older now.
Right.
Like, what do you want to do this? And even in that, when she wants to, guarding that, making sure that people don't have as much access. A lot of people are always asking me, how come you and Kanata don't post? Like, we want to see your marriage. And I don't even like people knowing what my house looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's your kingdom, right? And there's some things that are for you. And again, if that's your thing, go do that. But for me, it's worked really well because I am a public figure.
Yeah.
And I want to have something that's mine, that I call mine, and that I know, you know, I come home to.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to feel pressured.
No.
Because everyone else is
and
doing
they
it.
Ask you and they know. But it's also the exclusivity of, I don't have to show you that. Mm-hmm. It's mine. And I feel that I have ownership a little bit over it, and it feels good that I have control over something, because we do. We have control over what we show. And my kids too. Like, I always felt when they were babies and social media came out, they weren't babies yet. I mean, they were a little older, but when social media, when Facebook came out and all that, you know, I saw a lot of people sharing about their kids. Again, it's fine. We all love it because it's friends and family. But I thought, wow, you know, I don't know if they, when they grow up, they're going to want to see pictures
all
of themselves in diapers. Like, they're going to be like, mom, really? That's their life. Like, I don't have a say in their
it's
lives.
It's so true.
You know? So I was like, you know what? I better not because they're probably going to hate me. They're, you know, so I did it.
You'll be 18, Google them.
Freak. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Have you Googled yourself?
No.
Oh gosh, you got to do it.
I haven't done it in a while.
You got to do it. You got to Google yourself. Freaking I Google myself like, everybody has, you people have to Google themselves. You got to find out what's out there. What people are putting up about you. Like, it's crazy. I Google myself all the time.
I'd be scared what comes
clean.
Up. A friend of mine actually Googled himself a couple, like 2 years ago and his mugshot came up.
No.
I was like, dude, that's so old. how'd that come up? But.
Oh my gosh.
So last question.
Yeah.
Because your life has been, you've been on an amazing journey.
I have.
What would you say is like your hope and desire? Like, once you leave this world, what do you want people to know or remember of you?
Yeah, I thought about that a lot. So I have always thought about what is my legacy? What will people say in my funeral? What will that be? You know, the word is light. I want people to think of me as light, as someone who came in and was a bit of sunshine in their lives, that I was able to just, anybody who met me, I hope, and I'm sorry if anybody's ever encountered anything different, but I'm intentional to drive an impact from the kindness of who God is, the goodness of who he is, and femininity, and all of that, the attributes of being warm and being a woman. I think there's a beauty, so much beauty in being a woman and what that entails in today's world, in so much movement that there is. I was brought up a fervent feminist, and that's okay. My mom thought that was the best thing coming from a barrio. You gotta survive. Mm-hmm. But I think the ideology of that has just become so distorted in today's world, and at the extreme of men bashing, don't open my doors because I have two good arms. I have boys. I have a husband. I want him to open up my doors. And I want to raise boys that open doors for girls. So bringing that balance, I want to be remembered for that. Bringing a balance of biblical basis, things that God established for us to be, for the world that in a society that seems to go against all of it, there are still remnant of people that are still driving those biblical principles in the platform that we're given. I wholeheartedly believe that the job I've been given, with all the responsibility that it has today and the platform I've been given to speak to many people in many parts of the world, they think that I'm talking about technology and storytelling, but I'm talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to be known as somebody who could, you know, I don't know what she's saying. I don't know why I'm feeling this. I'm like, yeah, it's called the Holy Spirit and that's called Jesus. And I can talk to you a little bit more about that. I want to be known as someone who is found with integrity. I'm going to fail and I have failed royally, and I will continue to fail, and that's what keeps me humble. Like you know, God's like, yeah, it's not about you. Let me remind you, fail, you know. But beyond my failings, I want to be remembered as someone who just got up and dust up, you know, and dust off and continued under the grace of God, by God only, because again, it's not about me.
Awesome, you're awesome. I love you.
Jinx,
guys, this was my girl Meaty. Oh.
Thank you.
She's the best person ever.
This podcast is going to be like amazing. It's like if I read table times 10. Amazing.
I know. I'm looking forward for everyone to get to know you. Tell people how they can follow you.
Yeah. So find me on Twitter at Miri Rod, MiriRod. And LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn as well. On Instagram, Miri Rod as well. I'm not on Snapchat anymore. Are you on Snapchat?
Nah.
Yeah. It's not
Sorry, me. Snapchat.
Sometimes I get in and stalk people on it, but not on Facebook. Never happened. So I never, you know, whatever. Not on Facebook, but you can find me elsewhere. And you can Google me as well. Some YouTube stuff happening.
So bougie. Just Google me.
Shut up. You'll find some shoes. No, you won't.
But Miri Rod, make sure you guys follow her. If you guys need some sort of, you know, one-on-one talks, she's booking sessions, guys.
I am. Call me up.
Hit her up. Don't be afraid. Just don't get intimidated. She's got some good combos for you. She dropped some really good nuggets, guys. I mean, I'm lucky. I get them all the time, but feel free to hit her up. She'll hit you back. She may hook you up with a job at Spotify or something. I don't know. She knows everybody.
You know everybody. We know everybody.
Come we do. We have a wealth of resources.
We sure do.
It's crazy.
Man. It's pretty cool.
But we utilize them wisely. So.
We do.
I love you, Meaty. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being on here, supporting me, supporting what I do.
You know I always will.
I know.
You know that. I got your back, girl.
We're going to keep taking over the world together.
That's right.
Now go cook. Your husband's ready.
I am. I know he's been calling me. Parents. What are you cooking tonight? Why are you on my grill? Leave me alone. You're all the way in Seattle. Leave me alone.
See, that's what happens when you're Latina. You still got to go cook.
I got to go cook.
It don't matter how much money you make. Get in that kitchen.
That's right. I got to go. I got to go to Publix.
All right. Love you.
Love you.
Guys, thanks for hanging out with me and my girl Meaty. It's Kicking It With Butter, the podcast. I love you guys. We'll kick it next week again. All right. See you guys next week. Hey, thanks for kicking it with me today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And do me a favor, if you can just rate the show, let people know what you think, that would be awesome. And be sure to follow me online at Kicking It With Butter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you. All right, I'm going to catch you guys later.